Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Glad tidings on this Groundhog Day. An early spring is on the way.
Not so fast, Punxsutawney Phil. We'll tell you what our local animal weather predictors have to say.
And the Durham School Board has two options on the table that could settle pay disputes between the staff and the district. But some workers will fare better than others.
And you're looking live at Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, where excitement is building ahead of the Battle of the Blues. How the matchup between Duke and UNC could impact drivers. In just a few hours, Durham Public School leaders weigh their options to settle pay concerns among their employees. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. The problem led to protests that closed a dozen schools on Wednesday and disrupted bus routes and other school operations. WRAL's Ken Smith examines the solutions school leaders are considering this afternoon, Ken.
Yeah, Jeff and Renee, we're hearing from these solutions will benefit some employees and not others. So there's still a disconnect to what employees want versus what the district can deliver. This comes after days of protests and a sick out earlier this week. There are two options on the table for the classified employees' future paychecks. Classified employees are those workers who are not teachers, like bus drivers and healthcare professionals. Option one gives all staff at least a 4% raise, but employees won't be paid for out-of-state or private practice experience. Option two includes an 11% raise. It would also restore the 2022-23 salary steps. A rep of the Durham Association of Educators say this process needs more transparency and more stakeholders at the table.
It seems like a step in the right direction, but still it's pitting, staff against other staff. So some people are going to benefit from option A and some are going to benefit from option B.
Yeah, as we just mentioned, that sick out and rally earlier this week forced 12 Durham Public Schools to close for that day. That meeting is scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon. We will be there and bring you updates in our early evening newscasts starting at 4.
All right, Ken, thanks for that.
If you're not a fan of cold weather, you'll be happy to hear this. The most famous groundhog in the world emerged from his winter slumber to make his annual prediction.
But what this weather did not provide is a shadow or reason to hide.
And because Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, that means an early spring is headed our way. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is here now with predictions from all our local animals, as well as her forecast based on science.
Yes, we're going to go straight out to White Deer Park in Garner and take a look where Snert is standing by. And we'll listen in to see what Snert is seeing out there.
17 years. And let me tell you something else about Snert. He is the only weather-predicting groundhog in North Carolina, all right? And he chooses to come to Garner every year for 17 years. He doesn't believe in all the shadow stuff. He has a weather laboratory just like on TV. He's got seismographs and altimeters and thermometers and barometers, and he knows how to predict the weather. We can trust him. We can trust Snert. And with that, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Vinny, and you can tell us a little bit more.
All righty. Hello, good people of Garner, my home away from home. It is I, Snert, prognosticating rodent. Groundhog extraordinaire, here to tell you what your future holds. Weather-wise, anyway.
I know there are learned humans that call themselves meteorologists that attempt to predict the weather. And sometimes they're correct, sometimes not so much. But they don't have what I have, a doctrine of prognostication from the Universitas Committeatum in Pluribus Naturum. So now, after having consulted the oracles of old, Mother Nature herself, the Weather Channel, Noah, the old farmer's almanac, and any other source that I can think of, I'm about to tell Mayor Gupton my prediction for this year. Okay, I'm listening, Snert. Okay. You can't hear it, I can't. I'm not sure, Snurd. Is that what you really think?
How old are you?
Last chance. Look around. Tell me one more time. Oh, I got it. I got the whole thing. Snurd says, what a beautiful day together with friends. It's warm and sunny and clear. Get ready for more bright days ahead because spring will come early this year. Woo!
All right, so there it is. Snurd saw her shadow, but if she sees her shadow, then we've got more winter ahead. I'm not sure exactly that's what the mayor said, but it's been a ton of fun. This is really interesting. For the last couple of years, there's a very interesting animal that has been doing the prognosticating over there in Apex. I think we have the video of this. Take a look here. A big, big crowd in Apex at Olive Chapel Elementary School, where students enjoyed a break from the usual groundhog. It's an armadillo named Sylvia. Now, they still wore their groundhog hats and really got into the whole situation, but it's a groundhog. And Apex Mayor Jacques Gilbert hosted the event. They brought out Sylvia the Apex armadillo, and Sylvia did not see her shadow. So that means that it looks like that we're going to have part of the viewing area seeing more winter and part of it seeing an early spring. So all this is so much fun around springtime, but we can also take a look at what is likely to happen in terms of real science and real meteorology. This is a look at a long-term model. It's a climate model that'll show us something beyond the next 7 to 10 days, but it only gives you the potential to look at trends. And so we look at trends for the month of February. A good bit of the country is likely to be above normal. For our area in North Carolina, we're likely to see temperatures near normal. So what does that mean? Today, the normal high is 53. February 15th, the middle of the month, the normal high is 56. By March 1st, it's 59. And by March 15th, it's 63. By April 15th, it is 73. So if we see near normal temperatures, we'll probably have a month with temperatures mainly in the 50s. But even though that's normal, we tend to see a pretty big fluctuation that happens every other week or so in the wintertime. So at this point, we still have, six more weeks of most likely chilly temperatures in February. But after that, hopefully we'll begin to warm up a little bit. It does look like it's going to be a cool weekend for us. We have some cold temperatures ahead for mornings next week. I'll show you coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Another big story we're following this noon. This afternoon, President Biden will attend the dignified transfer of three American soldiers killed in Jordan. It's scheduled to take place at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. U.S. officials say the president has settled on a retaliation plan against the Iranian-backed militant group blamed for the drone strike. Rebecca Castor reports it could take place over several days or even weeks.
A solemn day in Delaware as three U.S. soldiers killed in Jordan, Sergeants William Rivers, Kennedy Sanders, and Brianna Moffitt, return home to their loved ones, with President Biden on hand to play consoler-in-chief.
Reality probably won't set in until we actually travel to go receive her remains. That's the time that I'm really not looking forward to. I'm dreading it, actually. But right now, I'm still just in a state of disbelief.
The soldiers were killed in a drone strike over the weekend that the White House says was backed by Iran. Biden says a response is coming, and not just one. U.S. officials insinuate it will be a series of strikes over several days. But critics argue the president is showing his hand to the enemy, and the counterattack should have happened already.
He's already foreshadowing exactly what is upcoming.
They're pushing us around in the Mideast. They're not going to stop until we hit Iran itself.
Iran proxies have targeted U.S. soldiers in the Middle East over 160 times since the war between Israel and Hamas began. Yet most lawmakers want to hit Iran financially and avoid a full-on conflict.
It would not be in America's best interest to go into an active war at this moment with Iran. But I do think, again, there needs to be a price paid for the three American soldiers killed.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. President Biden will meet with those families this afternoon before the transfer. This will be the second dignified transfer Biden has attended since he took office. He attended the transfer of the remains of 13 service members killed in a terrorist attack outside an airport in Kabul during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
The district attorney in Georgia says she will not recuse herself in the Trump election subversion case. The House Judiciary Committee chairman subpoenaed Fannie Willis to produce documents related to the use and spending of federal funds. House Republicans are investigating allegations that Willis engaged in an improper romantic relationship with her lead prosecutor. A court hearing is set for February 15th for both sides to present evidence related to the allegations. We will have to wait until mid-February to learn the verdict in Donald Trump's civil fraud case in New York. Judge Arthur Engoron is set to issue a ruling on the fraud claims against Trump and his co-defendants, including his adult son and his company. The attorney general there says Trump and his company should pay $370 million to remedy funds obtained illegally.
An advisory panel to the FDA meets today to discuss how to make pulse oximeters more accurate for people with darker skin tones. The devices estimate the oxygen saturation of your blood and pulse rate by sending light beams through your finger. But research has shown darker pigmentation can affect how the light is absorbed by the sensors, which can result in inaccurate readings. The pandemic helped shine a spotlight on that racial disparity when the devices were widely used. Preterm birth rates are on the rise in the U.S., and experts aren't sure why. The increase between 2014 and 2022 was relatively consistent regardless of age or race, although Black and Hispanic mothers were more likely to give birth early than white people. Babies born prematurely can have short-term health issues like problems fighting off infection or breathing. In the long term, premature babies may develop asthma, hearing loss, and developmental delays.
Many North Carolinians outside of Warren County may not have heard of Soul City. Back in the early 1970s, it was one of 14 so-called new towns started under a federally funded program. It was a vision of Floyd McKissick Sr. to develop more than 3,000 acres in Warren County. It was supposed to be a multiracial community led by African Americans. The plan was to build homes, recreational facilities, and create jobs. While McKissick's vision was never realized, today, Soul City still stands as a symbol of what could have been.
It could have been a wonderful city, brought together people of different races, allowed opportunities, regardless of your background, to excel, to be a part of a vibrant community.
Many of the buildings around Soul City are abandoned, but new homes are being built and people are living in Soul City. Coming up tonight at 5:55 on WREL, we look at the history of Soul City, what derailed the project, and the hopes for the future as we celebrate Black History Month.
Target pulled a children's book from its Black History Month display that misidentified famous Black figures. Civil rights magnetic learning activity incorrectly identified Webb Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, and Carter G. Woodson. The mistake gained attention after a TikTok user posted about it earlier this week. Some chimed in saying the mistakes were more insulting than not having them in the first place. Next at noon, a routine check of Tesla vehicles leads to another recall. The increased risk of a crash that has nearly all its U.S. models on recall again.
Plus a possible vote coming next week on the southern border crisis. At 12:30, the immigration deal lawmakers are considering.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Florida this afternoon. A Florida Highway Patrol trooper has died after crashing while trying to detain a fleeing felon. There's a news conference happening right now. This happened in St. Lucie County around 3:30 this morning. I want to show you the scene of that crash. His patrol car was involved with a tractor trailer. Trooper Zachary Fink died. The man has been detained in connection with his death. The felon's car was found crashed into a tree about a mile away. That's where he was detained. But lots of reaction this morning from his death. Governor Ron DeSantis posting to X, "Our hearts go out to the family of FHP trooper Zachary Fink, who was killed in the line of duty while attempting to detain a fleeing felon. Again, I'm going to check in on this and bring you any updates from the Live Center. Today, the fourth funeral is happening for a teen killed in a crash on I-95 last week. 17-year-old Alan Lockamy will be laid to rest after service at Edgerton United Methodist Church in Selma at 4 this afternoon. Lockamy is one of four teens who died in the crash in the early morning hours of January 22nd. If you drive a Tesla, your car is likely part of the company's latest recall. Tesla is recalling nearly every one of its cars sold in the U.S. The reason? The font sizes on the warning lights are too small for some drivers to see or read, and this could increase the risk of a crash. The issue was found during a routine audit of Tesla vehicles. Tesla says it is not aware of any crashes or injuries caused by the issue. Those affected can get an over-the-air software update to fix the issue for free. Owners should expect a notification letter sometime after March 30th.
A preliminary report from the FAA says three people are dead after a plane crash in Clearwater, Florida last night. This was the scene this morning, still taped off as investigators are working. The plane is a Beech V-35B. It had one person inside when it crashed into a mobile home park. The home it crashed into caught fire, killing two people who were inside. The FAA has not yet found out what caused that crash. The mother of the convicted Oxford High School shooter is being cross-examined in court today. Jennifer Crumbly said in her testimony that she would not have done anything differently. Meanwhile, the prosecution says she was grossly negligent for letting him have a gun and not seeking treatment for her son's mental health. Crumbly is facing four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of four students her son killed at the school in 2021.
ESPN's College Game Day is headed to Chapel Hill tomorrow morning, ahead of the Battle of the Blues that evening. Town officials are warning that traffic and parking will be difficult. The town is asking drivers to be aware of increased pedestrian traffic and to give them the right of way. East Rosemary Street will be closed to through traffic. On-street parking will be unavailable on Franklin Street between Henderson and Church starting at 4. Any cars left in those spaces will be towed.
UNC has home court advantage, but Duke won both games last year, so maybe they will have a chip on their shoulder. WRAL will have team coverage of tomorrow's game, all the fanfare. The game's at 6:30, and we'll be helping you get ready for it on our 6 p.m. newscast.
And be sure to tune in to WRAL News Plus as soon as the game ends for your Battle of the Blues post-game coverage with live reports from our crews in Durham and Chapel Hill. You can find WRAL News Plus on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum 1257, or the WRAL app.
It's always a lively matchup, fun, first meeting of the season, regular season here. But the kids will be out at 7:30 tomorrow morning getting ready for game day coming in.
Yeah. Also a lively day for Groundhog Day with all the prognostications. The general consensus seems to be early spring, Elizabeth. It sure looks like spring out there.
So this is a really good learning moment. You can see how it is for meteorologists. Take a look here. Franklinton, beautiful sunshine, shadows all around. But we had Apex and Garner, which are not that far away from each other with completely different forecasts. So that's what our life is like all the time. 58 is our temperature right now, at least the last reading, the last hourly reading, but we're watching some of the more frequent readings that come in are already climbing into the 60s in some places. So looking at 64, 65 for the high temperature this afternoon with a lot of sunshine. Here's a look at the satellite view. And we do have some cloud cover across southern Wake County and down across parts of Fayetteville and southward, but we're looking at more sunshine in some of our northern county. So we're looking at just a little bit of moisture out there that's producing some clouds. We may have more cloud cover this afternoon as a front drops in on us by mid to late afternoon. And you can see how it clouds up a little bit, especially in our eastern counties, starting at around 2 o'clock and continuing up until around sunset or so. So here's a look at the roundup, at least right here. We have Garner. We have SNRD in Garner, and SNRD did see his shadow. So that's 6 more weeks of winter. And then Apex, Sylvia, the armadillo, did not see his shadow, and so early spring. So, I mean, again, it's not that far between the two. So, you know, take your pick. And of course, Punxsutawney Phil did not see a shadow. So that's early spring there. And I tell you, those folks in Pennsylvania was very excited about that this morning. 60 in Southern Pines, 58 in Fayetteville and in Raleigh. It's 62 in Rocky Mount and 62 in Goldsboro. Shaping up to be a lovely afternoon. Temperatures are 5 to 10 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday. And we'll see 65 in Raleigh, 61 in Durham, and 67 in Fayetteville. But the cold front that'll drop in on us later on today will help to reverse our wind. Our wind has been southerly. Once that front drops in this afternoon, Our wind will start to shift to northerly, northwesterly, and that is going to help to open the door to some cooler air that will arrive by tonight. 53 is our normal high, 65 today. We're back to 53 tomorrow, as well as Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, most of next week, we see temperatures in the 50s for highs and overnight lows near freezing. So that's winter-like for us for sure. Speaking of winter-like, if you're going to be out there for ESPN's game day in Chapel Hill, you can start getting in line at 7:30, and it will be in the mid-30s. So you definitely want to grab a coat. And then as you're wandering around Chapel Hill in the afternoon, temperatures will be in the low 50s, and then game time temperatures will be in the mid-40s. So the coats may get a bit of a workout. Everybody's going to shed their coats for that run, the Krispy Kreme Challenge. So much fun. People like to dress up in costume for this. Running from the bell tower at NC State to eat a bunch of donuts and run back. The temperature at start time likely to be in the upper 30s. So it's going to be chilly, but skies will be clear. A nice quiet weekend for us. Our temperatures will be near normal. Again, 53 Saturday, 55 on Sunday. We take a look at the morning lows, and we're near freezing almost every day for the next week or so. We're going to talk a little bit more about what is coming for the month of February in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. Coming up on WRAL News at 5, food tossed at three different restaurants during health inspections in our area. 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur explains the problems that were found in this week's restaurant ratings.
And tonight at 6, why Raleigh is about to start a new study about creating a quiet zone for trains coming through downtown. We have this live look in Clayton right now. Temperatures in the 50s all around our viewing area. Some sunshine right there as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Artificial intelligence software is changing the game when it comes to composing music. AI can draft lyrics to a song in seconds, reproduce voices, even create drum beats. The high-tech programs are dramatically altering the future landscape of the music industry. Some musicians believe AI will help spark creativity and lead them to new sounds. However, others don't believe there are enough boundaries.
There have been a real proliferation of AI developers who have trained AI models with large-scale amounts of copyright works without actually getting any authorization for doing so.
As the debate over AI regulation continues, advocates see a future where AI enhances a musician's abilities instead of threatening their artistic integrity.
The Bears' Ayo Edebiri has been on an award season roll, and tomorrow night she hosts Saturday Night Live for the first time. Mark Barger has a preview.
Thank you.
From the chaos of a Chicago restaurant kitchen, on the FX dramedy, The Bear.
Richie, do you even know how to do fries?
Ayo Edebiri is entering another frenzied setting at Saturday Night Live.
This past week has been really crazy. This is like the most insane, amazing place.
That's after an insane, amazing January.
Ayo, ha-ha!
Which saw Edebiri win Critics' Choice, Golden Globe, and Emmy Awards for her performance as ambitious sous chef Sydney.
It's probably very cliche and cheesy, but it is like a dream come true.
Now the Boston-born actress is living another as SNL host.
This show could be the greatest show of our lives. Started as a stand-up and went to NYU and have, like, you know, done comedy alongside a lot of the people who work here now.
And they have all got even more reason to be excited.
Like, J-Lo's also going to be the musical guest.
J-Lo! J-Lo!
I think it just adds to the surreal nature of it all, where I'm just like, okay, I mean, if you're telling me this is my life and it's happening, I have no choice but to believe you.
And Edebiri was stunned to make an early connection with the music superstar.
She followed me on Instagram the other day, and I was like, okay, best friends.
Yes! Danny from the Blue!
A potential recipe for Saturday night success.
Am I going to get charged for that?
Mark Barger, NBC News.
Ayo Edebiri hosts Saturday Night Live this week with J-Lo as musical guest. You can watch it right here on WRAL following our 11 p.m. newscast.
They're best friends. A bipartisan immigration bill may pass in the coming days. Coming up, a deep dive into the bill ahead of Monday's vote.
Plus, an advertising company is paying out millions of dollars after picking up Purdue Pharma's OxyContin as a client. What the company has to say about the lawsuit just ahead. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Another month behind us and another jobs report that surprised economists as we start the year. WRAL's Brian Schrader has a look at the numbers and what they all mean. Brian?
Jeff, economists were expecting the economy to add jobs in January, but not nearly as many as it did. Take a look here. The U.S. added 353,000 jobs last month, way more than the 185,000 jobs that economists were predicting. It was broad-based job growth that shows a resilient U.S. economy. But wages also jumped much higher than expected, and that can feed into higher prices. UNC Kenan Institute economist Christian Lundblad says despite some major improvement with inflation, it's unclear what will happen with interest rates.
If we see strong growth and continued inflation, you know, you could imagine a sort of economic call for this rates for the rate environment to continue to increase. Like, there's just a lot of ambiguity here.
Now, right now, most economists are expecting the Fed to hold interest rates steady. It meets next month to make that decision.
Maybe mid-year is what the experts are saying. All right, Brian, thanks for those numbers.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, former WWE CEO Vince McMahon is now the focus of a federal criminal investigation. And this all comes as prosecutors try to determine if he broke federal law surrounding recent allegations of sex abuse and sex trafficking. Those allegations were made public after a former employee came out and filed several lawsuits against him. McMahon said that federal officials have confiscated his phone. He did release a statement last week denying all of the allegations against him.
Michelle, thanks. Crews were busy until 3:30 this morning fighting a fire in Johnston County. It started around 10 p.m. at a business near Dunn on Holly Grove Road. Firefighters say a shop on the property caught fire. No one was hurt. It took at least 8 fire departments to put the flames out. Clayton police say 3 young men are charged in a shooting and robbery. 18-year-old Andrew Teague, 19-year-old Jaden Chapman, and a 17-year-old are charged with attempted first-degree murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and conspiracy. This happened Sunday in Clayton. Anyone with information is asked to call Clayton police.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill could finally vote on a possible immigration deal as early as next week. NBC's Stephanie Gosk explains this measure comes after at least 7 people were arrested accused of attacking police outside a New York City migrant shelter.
This morning, a landmark vote on immigration could finally be in sight. After months of battling on Capitol Hill, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer will force a vote on Monday.
We cannot simply shirk from our responsibilities just because a task is difficult.
As record numbers of migrants have been crossing the southern border, overwhelming authorities, President Biden has pushed for more action to combat the crisis. A bipartisan deal coming into shape in recent weeks. But former President Trump and his allies have been trying to undermine it, arguing it would give Biden a win in an election year.
If the bill's not going to be a great bill and really solve the problem, I wouldn't do it at all.
With the southern border under immense pressure, leaders of border states have been busing migrants to other cities. And in places like Chicago and New York, there's tension from overcrowded shelters. A growing firestorm after this dramatic attack on NYPD officers. Some of the suspects, migrants, according to police. 7 people were arrested for the assault in Times Square.
I'm appalled at this. The city, we've had enough.
Several of the suspects have arrest records since coming to the U.S., according to senior law enforcement officials. NBC News has not been able to confirm their immigration status. Now, some have been released as the cases are pending.
In any case, when you attack our police officers, you should go to Rikers Island.
The district attorney saying violence against police officers is never acceptable. It is paramount that we conclusively identify each defendant and specify each participant's role in the incident. Governor Kathy Hochul, a Democrat, responding to the attack.
Get them all and send them back. You don't touch our police officers. You don't touch anybody.
Stephanie Gosk reporting. The initial procedural vote would require 60 votes to pass. It's currently unclear if the votes are there. Senate Democrats are considering canceling their annual policy retreat next week so senators can be there on the floor. Right now, President Biden was expected to address the retreat on Wednesday.
In Halifax County, a man is facing more than a dozen drug and firearm charges after a lengthy investigation by the Drug and Gang Task Force. While issuing a search warrant at the home of DeAndre Ireland, agents found fentanyl, cocaine, marijuana, 3 stolen guns, and about $38,000 in cash. Ireland is charged with drug trafficking, possession with intent to sell, possession of stolen firearms, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. His bond was set at $1.6 million. Ireland is due back in court February 22nd. A French marketing company that worked on Purdue Pharma's OxyContin account has settled a lawsuit that accused it of falsely marketing opioids as safe. It's the first time an advertising company has settled an opioid lawsuit. The company Publicis agreed to pay $350 million within the next 2 months and says it will not take on any more opioid clients. The company in a statement said it did not admit to wrongdoing and hopes the payment will help the effort to combat opioid addiction.
Google Maps is about to get even more helpful. How artificial intelligence will be able to offer you new insights whenever you visit locations.
And you may notice a lot of people, including us here at WREL, wearing red today. The important health message for what's known as National Wear Red Day, kicking off American Heart Month. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WREL News app.
Google is adding generative AI to its maps. The feature is currently only available for certain areas and select local guides members. It allows you to speak to the app to help find new places in your hometown or throughout the country. Google says the system will work no matter how specific or broad your needs might be. It can also be used in a pinch, like suggesting things to do in case of a sudden rainstorm. And you can further refine search results by asking follow-up questions. Amazon is launching a new generative AI shopping assistant called Rufus. It's trained on Amazon's product catalog, customer reviews, and information from across the web. For now, it's only available to a limited number of Amazon customers. Amazon views Rufus as a one-stop shop for all your needs. It can answer questions like what to consider when buying running shoes and also respond to follow-up questions. Rufus can also provide context with insight on products based on specific activities or events.
Apple's new Vision Pro headset is now available in Apple stores and online in the U.S. Customers who pre-ordered the device for almost $3,500 can now pick up their headsets. Apple says the headset will include more than 600 apps and games that are designed for special features on the Vision Pro. The company says users will be able to step into immersive environments when watching sports and content on streaming platforms like Disney Plus and Max. You could be among the millions of people who have cash assets just waiting to be claimed. According to the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators, more than 30 million people in the United States have unclaimed property. That includes unclaimed money from inactive bank accounts, unused rebate cards, uncashed paychecks, or life insurance policy payouts. To see if you have unclaimed property, go to nccash.com.
Today's National Wear Red Day, a reminder that heart disease is the leading cause of death in women. After the break, we'll be talking to the local director of Go Red for Women to tell us more about this important cause.
And while we've been trusting animals to tell us when it will warm up for the season on this Groundhog's Day, just ahead, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has our much more accurate full forecast.
Today is National Wear Red Day. The movement was designed to support Go Red for Women, which raises awareness of heart disease and stroke in women. It is the number one killer of women. Sangeetha Menon is here, Go Red Women Director here in the Triangle. Thank you so much for joining us, taking the time here. This is all about awareness today, letting people know. I know it's 20 years for Go Red. But I think people will be surprised to understand the age of women, the race of women. How does it all factor in?
Yes, thank you so much for having me here today on Go Red. It really is an icon day for us. And thank you for wearing red yourself.
Certainly. We're all on board.
We are raising awareness around heart disease among women. Mm-hmm. Heart disease kills more women than all forms of cancer combined. Mm-hmm. So we are requesting people to join us and wear red and raise awareness. Heart disease also kills, is one of the leading causes of maternal death in this country. And we want to change those statistics.
I know you always talk about and hear people say, know your numbers. You know, why is that so critical for people to know their numbers?
It is so critical because, you know, life gets in the way and we forget to pay attention to ourselves, especially as women. We take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. So we want women to know their numbers, especially around blood pressure, which is one of the biggest risk factors. So please talk to your doctor and take care of yourself.
Yeah, there's another talk going on about hands-only CPR. I know there's a whole booklet coming out on that, right?
Yes.
Why is that so important, the hands-only CPR?
This is so important, especially this year as we celebrate the 100th year of the American Heart Association and the 20th anniversary of CORED. According to the American Heart Association, 90% of people who have a cardiac event outside of a hospital die. And this can be changed with hands-only CPR, and their chances of survival increase by 2 or 3 times. So we really want to educate our communities, our country, that this is important. It's just 2 easy steps. Call 911 right away, and then place one palm on top of the other, push hard and fast in the middle of the chest, to the pace of 100 to 120 beats a minute, okay. And you could save a life.
Well, hands only, I can save anybody's life, but women are more likely to die without getting that treatment. Also, a healthier lifestyle, okay? We preach this in the mornings, but it's tough for us to get the sleep we need, so I know this math. We wrap things up with a few of the headlines that we are following for you today. In just a few hours, Durham Public School leaders will weigh their options to settle pay concerns among their employees. The problem led to protests that closed a dozen schools on Wednesday. There's a meeting scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll bring you there and bring you the updates. We'll be there for those updates in our early evening newscast starting at 4 o'clock.
Economists were expecting the economy to add jobs in January, but not nearly as many as it did. The U.S. added 353,000 jobs last month, way more than the 185,000 jobs economists were predicting. It was broad-based job growth that shows a resilient economy. But wages also jumped much higher than expected, which can feed into higher prices.
Brought it live to you right here on WRL News at noon after taking several weather tools into consideration. Snurd the Garner Groundhog is predicting an early spring. Punxsutawney Phil had the same thought. Sylvia the Apex Armadillo also saw her shadow.
Tracy Chapman, who has not performed in public in years, will return to the stage Sunday at the Grammy Awards. The singer will perform her iconic song, Fast Car, in a duet with North Carolina native Luke Combs. Combs is nominated in the Best Country Solo Performance category for his cover of Chapman's hit. Chapman has only performed 3 times for the camera since 2009. Looking forward to that. An early Galentine's get-together for the Dog Moms of Durham. This Valentine-themed social meetup lets your dog paint their own canvas masterpiece. There will also be treats and goodies for dogs and their owners. It is Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. at Bull City Cider Works.
An 8-year-old from Detroit is getting a lot of attention for her impersonations of black icons. Rosie White has made videos of Harriet Tubman, Tina Turner, Whoopi Goldberg, many more. And we've even shared some of hers on WRL New News. After reenacting the dinner scene from The Color Purple, Rosie caught the attention of Oprah Winfrey and was invited to join her at the premiere. She says it felt like a dream.
I just feel great and happy. Every good affirmation, that's how I feel.
How about that? Rosie's Hollywood adventure continues as she works for Disney, playing a character named Danielle. She's also working on her Black History Month videos that she's been doing since preschool with help from her older sister.
She is so talented. Mm-hmm. Love her energy. Our pet of the day may look like a child who gave themselves a haircut right now, but soon she will be the most gorgeous cat you've ever laid eyes on. This is Jules from the SPCA of Wake County. She's 9. Jules was adopted previously, but had to be returned after the owner developed allergies. Jules is friendly and outgoing. She gets along with other cats. And if you'd like more information on her, go to spcawake.org. Today is a special birthday for a little boy in Raleigh. Amari Taylor was born on February 2nd, 2022. That is 2222 when you write out the date. And ahead on our news at 4, how he's doing on his second birthday, the big 2.
Oh, that is so cute. There's another special birthday this weekend. You know what? Groundhog Day always means the next day is Renee Chu's birthday, and that's tomorrow.
It's on a Saturday.
Happy birthday.
I get to sleep
yes.
in. Woo!
Have so much fun. Have
Thank
so much
you.
Fun. Have a good weekend. You'll be safe.
Have a great day, everybody.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.